Again, I greet you in the most wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, Son of God, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. For this podcast, all scripture readings are taken from the English Standard Version Bible Translation, unless otherwise stated. Now today I would like to take us back to one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Old Testament. This miracle took place in the life of Hezekiah, king of Judah, in the days of the prophet Isaiah. Not only did Hezekiah receive healing for his terminal illness, but, and this is the greater wonder that took place, God gave him a sign to confirm the message that he delivered to Hezekiah through his servant Isaiah. There are several things about Hezekiah's healing that we should pay attention to, and especially to how his healing influenced his life and what happened to Judah as a result of this great miracle. Now, as Christians, we often encounter sickness, and we often are being called on to pray for some or other brother or sister who became ill. Of course, we have to pray for the ill amongst us. James 5 verse 14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." We also expect that healing will automatically follow on our prayers. After all, that is why we believe. Didn't Jesus heal all the sick who came to him? Yes, he did, except in Nazareth. Mark 6 verse 5 says, "And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." Now, scripture says that the people of Nazareth took offense in Jesus. I believe that the few sick people that he did heal believed in him. The point I want to make is that we also know of people who did not receive healing after even many people prayed for them. Of course, we would like to know why. Why were they not healed? We can come up with all kinds of answers, but the fact is we do not always know why. We do not know what the future holds. We do not know if the healing of a terminally ill person would be to his or her advantage or disadvantage. That is why I want to take us back to Hezekiah. Now, what? Wasn't Hezekiah healed? Yes, he was. But, and this is the question, was it to Hezekiah's and Judah's advantage or disadvantage? At the end of the podcast, you can draw your own conclusion. Let me read from 2 Kings, verse 1. "In those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover.' So God sent Isaiah the prophet with a grave message: 'Set your house in order, for you will die. There will be no recovery.' This was a harsh message. You see, a true prophet of God has to deliver from time to time very harsh messages. 'Hezekiah, you will die.' I do not think that such a message will be received well in today's churches. A prophet with such a message will not be tolerated. Now, when Hezekiah received this message, he turned his face to the wall and prayed. Now listen to how he pleads his case. He reminds God of all the good he has done. He says in verse 3, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now Hezekiah was broken. He did not want to die. There was still so much he wanted to do. Now when Hezekiah pleaded his faithfulness before God, he did not lie. History tells us that he was one of the best kings that Judah had. He served the God of Israel. He broke down the altars of Baal. He restored the worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is then no wonder that God listened to his cry. So before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him with the following message. Verse 5, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. God has heard Hezekiah's prayer. He has seen his tears. What a wonderful God we serve, full of grace, full of mercy, full of love. So God promised to heal him within 3 days, but God did more. He said in verse 6, "And I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Then Isaiah said, "Bring a cake of figs, and let them take and lay it on the boil, that he may recover." Now the healing of Hezekiah in itself was a miracle, but what follows surpasses it by far. Hezekiah wanted a sign from God that he will indeed be healed. Now that sounds like unbelief or doubt. I suppose it is. But remember, even though Hezekiah was a king, he was still only a human being. And humans tend to doubt. So we have to be gentle to those who doubt and pray that God will assist them to overcome their doubt. So Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? So he gave him a choice. Shall the shadow go forward or backwards? Incredible. Now listen to what Hezekiah said. He said, "It is easy, or it is an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Rather let the shadow go back 10 steps. Now these steps functioned as a kind of sundial. So for the shadow to move forward 10 steps, it means that the day must move on for as many minutes as 10 steps represent. Vice versa, for the shadow to move backwards, the day must move backwards for as many minutes as 10 steps represent. Hezekiah chooses the impossible. Well, impossible for us, but with God it is all possible. Do you know what had to happen to make time move back? Our time is determined by Earth's position in relation to the sun. As the Earth rotates forward on its own axis, the time of day moves forward. So for the shadow to move back 10 steps, the Earth's position in relation to the sun had to move back to the position it was in when the shadow were 10 steps back. Science will tell us that this is impossible, and if it were at all possible, nobody on planet Earth would have survived the catastrophe. But maybe God did not spin the Earth backwards. He could have moved the position of the sun. No matter how God changed the time to prove to Hezekiah that he will fulfill his promise to him, it is and it stays a miracle that only God has the ability to do. God must have loved Hezekiah tremendously. Verse 11 reads, "And Isaiah the prophet called to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps, by which it had gone down on the steps of Ahaz." So Hezekiah was healed, and God promised to keep him another 15 years. Now, right after Hezekiah was miraculously healed, the problems for Judah started. First, we read that the son of the king of Babylon sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah when he heard that he was ill. In verse 13, we read, "Hezekiah welcomed them and showed them his whole storehouse with its silver, gold, spices, and high-quality olive oil, as well as the armory and everything in his treasuries. Hezekiah showed them everything in his palace and in his whole kingdom." We can well assume that Hezekiah also showed him the temple treasuries. You see, Hezekiah was flattered. He allowed pride in his heart. He was, after all, one of the richest kings Judah ever had. When Isaiah the prophet asked him what they had seen in his palace, Hezekiah replied that he had shown them everything. And we read in verse 16 and 17, "Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your sons who shall be born to you, remember, who shall be born to you, not yet born, who shall be born to you, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Showing his riches to the Babylonians was not the greatest of the problems to come. 2 to 3 years after Hezekiah was healed, he fathered a son whom he named Manasseh. And when Hezekiah passed away, his son, then aged only 12, replaced him as king. Now this young lad reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. In 2 Kings 21, verse 2, we read as follows, "And he," that is Manasseh, "did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel." Yes, he rebuilt the high places, that is the idol altars that Hezekiah has destroyed. He erected altars for Baal, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Manasseh went even further. He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And if that was not enough, he burnt his own son as an offering and used fortune-telling and omens and dealt with mediums and necromancers. One would say that was enough, but it still was not enough. Manasseh carved an image for Asherah and set it up inside the house of the Lord, totally desecrating the house of the Lord. Now listen to what the Lord said about what Manasseh did. We read in verses 11 and 12 the following. It says, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these abominations and has done things more evil than all that the Amorites did, who were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon Jerusalem and Judah such disaster that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." This is hard words. Manasseh, according to the Lord, committed more abominations than what the Amorites did, people who did not know God. Now let's go back to when Isaiah gave Hezekiah the message to get his house in order because he will die. I think we can safely say that had Hezekiah accepted God's message in the first place and died as the Lord predicted, his son Manasseh would not have been born, and he would not have reigned in Hezekiah's place. You may well say that the king who would have succeeded in Hezekiah's place may have been just as wicked as Manasseh. But in the history of Judah, I don't think there was ever a king who matched the wickedness of Manasseh. He was even worse than Ahab, the former king of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, of course, this is speculation, but could it not have been that God wanted to prevent Judah from falling into idolatry again right after Hezekiah worked so hard to destroy the idols and Baal altars which his predecessor has erected? Certainly God must have had a reason why he wanted to take Hezekiah home when he sent the prophet Isaiah to him and told him, "Get your house in order, you will surely die." Maybe the history of Judah would have been a whole lot different if Hezekiah did not receive his healing. I want to leave this with you. If we could find a definite and indisputable answer to the case of Hezekiah, then we might be able to give definite and indisputable answers to why it is that not everyone we pray for receive their healing. Now, just as much as I, and I'm sure you as well, do not want to die from any illness at an early age, I often wonder which is the most important, receiving healing for my body or receiving salvation for my soul from our Lord Jesus. Now, please do not get me wrong. I believe in bringing the sick to Jesus. I believe in the laying on of hands and anointing the sick with oil, also in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus still heals and that he still performs miracles. After all, we serve a miracle-working God. I believe that God gave us his Holy Spirit, and he gave us the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to edify, to build up, to restore, and also to heal his children. So, let us first seek the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be given unto us. My prayer is that God bless you, keep you, and guide you. In Jesus' name, amen.